with this passage in chapter 6 of John, we reach, as you just hear, the end of our Lord's discourse. There'll be more. I presume we'll do it tomorrow. When the disciples, this is too much, and they go away. And some stay, and the rest. But today, we have, in a way, the most challenging part of this whole discourse. See, for John, enlightened by the Holy Spirit, he first tells us that Jesus is the Logos. And he takes that word Logos because it combines the Greek world in which the Jews had been already moving and thinking, and the Hebrew world, which is the world out of which the scriptures come. Logos is another way of saying Torah. Now you see, the Torah is God's wisdom. It's that expression of wisdom by which the people are supposed to live, but it's the same wisdom that holds the whole universe together. It's the same wisdom. And so the one who is Logos and Torah is Jesus. He's become flesh. So that wisdom is no longer some abstract quality or a power or a way of God's living. It's somebody. And that starts from, in the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos was turned toward God. And the Logos was God. So he's turned toward God, and he is God. And in that, if you just pray every day, is the whole mystery of the Trinity. Now the Logos is speaking to us. And he's speaking out of this tradition where Torah is wisdom. And the wisdom that comes down from heaven is manna. Manna, yeah, it's bread. But it's more than bread. It's wisdom. If you pick up that bread and you give thanks to the God who gave it to you, miraculously there on the desert, you're wise. And so there's a rhythm, you see. There's Logos, Torah, manna. And this is very spiritual. So the manna is really knowledge of God, which gives you eternal life. It says in the Book of Wisdom, knowledge of God is the root of immortality. But there's another step. It's not just Logos, Torah, manna. It's Eucharist. And so now, after having been brought to understand, hopefully, something of the mystical, spiritual reality we're talking about, here's the Son of God standing here telling us this. There's one more step. And it's the step we have today. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Really. Physically. Now that's not very spiritual. That's not very mystical. That doesn't seem to have much to do with wisdom. And this is the challenge. That is wisdom. There it is. The very wisdom of God has become our food. And that's the fruit of the death on the cross and the resurrection from the tomb. You see, that last step, which has been hinted at all the way through this chapter 6, all that talk about wisdom, it's there. And they shall all be taught by God. That's wisdom, right? Remember when we heard that a few days ago? and the one who comes to me I will not cast out. Cast out? Cast out from paradise. So, as God said, so they will not stretch out their hands and take from the tree of life. Now, Jesus says, the one who comes to me, I will not cast out. Why? Because I am the tree of life, and now access to the tree of life is open again to you. So then you look up in your concordance, tree of life, tree of life, tree of life. It's a good idea. And you'll find that it's always describing wisdom, except when it gets to the book of Revelation. So that if we want to be wise, we have to believe and come to this Mass expecting to feed on God. Not just through prayer and inner activity and no, by eating and drinking. And that's the challenge. You see? How many people who, some, are, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, they're looking for power, and they think they'll get it if they have a mystical experience. So you get the New Age, dear old Oprah. You know, she's got this radio show every day, teaching the New Age. Every day in 2008, there's a teaching on the New Age. And now she's starting to do it in her TV show. I was at the gym the other day, and there she was. And what's it saying? You are God. I am God. There is no God. We're God. You see, what does that make? The next step, you see, is to escape matter. Matter is embarrassing. You know, you get sick, you die. That's embarrassing, you know? We're spiritual. Oh, no, we're not. We're better than that. We are the place where spirit and matter come together, and we live by the Eucharist. What a challenge. So for those who are willing to believe him and come with faith, they have wisdom. And that wisdom gives power. Power to die out of love. Maybe in an act of love on your deathbed, dying of whatever. Or maybe martyred. Who knows? But we know that we have been given as a free gift, wisdom. And it's entered into our pores. That's why we're eternal. That's why we're eternal. This is kind of gross. I mean, eat. And this is what happened to the Jews. I mean, eat and drink his body and blood. Yes! Hard for them to imagine. If we'd been there, it would have been hard for us to imagine too. But like Peter, we could say, when Jesus said, well, are you going to go too? Where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. You are the one who can teach us about reality. You are the wisdom of God himself. So we believe you. That somehow we're going to eat your body and drink your blood because you said so. Just think. We have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and 1 Corinthians the account. And it's one of the mysteries of the rosary now. The account of the institution of the Eucharist. Think of the love with which our Lord did that. Take it. This is your eternal life. Believe. I believe you. Jesus, you said it. I believe you. That takes us off our self-centered little high horse and just says, I'm totally dependent on what you tell me. You are the Son of God. And if you say it, I buy it. I take it. But I don't understand it. I thought I was looking for wisdom, and you're telling me to eat this bread and drink this wine. What a beautiful gift. Just think how much he loves us. I want to be part of your bodily constitution. I want to change your whole life. And you don't have to climb Mount Sinai for that. Just come here. Because, as it says in the letter to the Hebrews, from now on, you've come to Mount Sinai. You've come to the festal gathering of all the angels. Here it is. How do we keep an enthusiasm about that? You got to pray. And you got to overcome the sloth of your mind. You don't have to learn Greek and Hebrew and all that stuff. That doesn't hurt. But, you know, most of the saints didn't know it. And most of the people that did know it, I hope they're in heaven. But you've got to break through. You've got to get rid of the incrustation on your spirit so that we go through this routine and it's pious enough. But where's the explosion? So that we can do what Paul did. By golly, he met Jesus once. Pretty dramatic, I must say. As soon as he got his eyesight back, what did he do? He went to the synagogue and started to preach. Convinced. And when he learned about the Eucharist, imagine how thrilled he was. And that's why he says to the Corinthians, I receive from the Lord, that is from the church, what I pass on to you. That on the night before he died, Jesus Christ took bread and so forth. You know the story. I received this. And I'm telling you about this. So whoever you see, and so be careful. You know, that's why some of you are sick and some have died, because you haven't paid attention to what you're doing. And then comes the crunch. What was the sin? What were the three sins against the Eucharist that he talked about? Division. First sin against the Eucharist. I hear there are divisions among you, and partly I believe it. Second, despising the poor. And third, thinking only about yourself and your own needs. Those are the sins against the Eucharist. They're not very spiritual either, in a way, if you know what I mean. Oh, my friends, if we could learn the honor that we have, that our flesh and our blood is dignified by this, what we could do for all these dear New Agers who are trying to be spiritual on their own, and they'll never make it. All the kids who are getting into the occult, you know. Why do you think in our age that the Eucharist has become such a center of devotion? We had a mass here yesterday for about 75 of those young people from Koinonia Community School. It was a beautiful mass. And afterwards, we exposed the Blessed Sacrament. And as I held up that Blessed Sacrament, these 75 kids were just, there's Jesus. That's the gift.